Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Jill. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater and very happy to be speaking this evening. Before I get started, are foods mentioned by name here or no?
No, just by category.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. I first came into program. It was probably the early 90s, and I was around for, I'm going to say maybe like 10 to 12 years, lost my weight, was working a program, but not a full program, was doing the little bit of picking and choosing what it was that I wanted to work. For example, I don't know that I ever really made phone calls back then, but I was around for 10 to 12 years, and then I left for, I guess, maybe another 10 or so. And I came back 2.5 years ago. And since then, I have released 65 pounds in holding. I have not picked up any of my alcoholic foods in that time. And I abstain from sugar and flour. And I have to say, a big thing that made a difference for me this time around was I had been having maybe just two packages of an artificial sweetener during the day, and I was willing to give those up. And I also was willing to look at every box and every can, and if anything that had a alias for sugar was even in like the 20th ingredient, I put that back down again. So I think a complete getting rid of those ingredients has made it far easier for me to stay abstinent, because quite frankly, I'm not as hungry with all of that gone. But anyway, let me back up a little bit to my history with food. I grew up in an Italian household that was very food focused. My father, I mean, nowadays they call it food insecure, but my father grew up hungry. He grew up a family of eight in the Depression, and he was hungry. And his relationship with food, I mean, I've thought a lot about it in these last years. I don't know that it was compulsive. It certainly was not healthy, and it was not healthy because of what he went through. There were certain foods that you couldn't put around him because the smell of them would infuriate him. And I'm thinking those were the foods that he was forced to eat because there was nothing else. And he would be visibly shaken if a meal was late, visibly shaken. So he suffered. He suffered. He had a relationship with food that was skewed. And food was a big thing in our house. Yet people say that they know they were born a compulsive eater. I don't really know that I was. I know that as a kid, I wasn't really looking to stuff my face with food. If I liked something a lot, I wanted more of it. I also can say that I used to, and I still do, if I like a book, I'll read it multiple times. And I did that a lot as a kid. And my favorite books as a kid, I can say my favorite part of them were the parts where people were eating, like when Heidi was eating with her grandfather and Rhett Butler took Scarlett to Charleston so she could get a square meal. I mean, I loved reading those things over and over again. So maybe that was some kind of inkling. Yet I grew up, I was not heavy. I did suffer from body dysmorphia. I always mention Twiggy, the model from the 60s. That poor woman is so maligned whenever her name comes out of my mouth. It wasn't her fault that she was 6 feet tall and 110 pounds. And that's what I thought I had to be. And I was never going to be that. And I wish somebody had told me I didn't need to be that. But honest to God, I was so stubborn that even if somebody had said that to me, I knew everything and I don't even know if I would have listened. So I suffered through my teens, you know, at 5'8", 135 pounds, thinking that it had to be 125 pounds. I had that number in my head, and nothing more than that number would make me happy. You know, and occasionally I would be there for maybe a week, and then my poor body would eat its way back up to something that was healthier for me. So I had this body dysmorphia, yet I didn't really start gaining weight until my 20s, when, it wasn't so much food catching up on me. I think it was life catching up on me. It was me looking at my life and thinking that this was going to be a lot harder to do than I ever thought it was going to be, because I was very much a spoiled, vain, headstrong young woman. So the weight started to come on me in my 20s, and I realized after trying to diet and failing, trying to diet and failing, that there really was something the matter, that my relationship with food was not like other people's. So I went into therapy. Again, this was like, I guess it was like maybe 1990. And, I told my therapist, I had heard about this place called OA, and she was encouraging. So I went. I remember my first meeting, anybody from Union County at Connecticut Farms in Union. There was a nice meeting, 100 people there, and people at that point would get up and qualify, and this woman got up and she was talking, and she said, and I turned it over, and I turned it over, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is this girl turning over? I knew nothing when I came in, but I did know that I was home. There was something about the things that I heard that made me know that I was home. So I did lose all of my weight there, but as I said, I was kind of picking and choosing what it was I was working on. I did start to get a spiritual life, which is something that's always been difficult for me, because my relationship or my conception of a higher power is a little bit, seems to be off the beaten path. Certainly doesn't follow mainstream religion. I rejected my particular religion, when I was 15 or so. So I was kind of, floundering and looking and looking. And I did get some kind of a relationship, but honestly, not enough to keep me there. I left the rooms because I started to struggle tremendously with anxiety. So you figure that would be a reason I should have stayed. But listening to other people's woes in the room, I couldn't take it. So I left the room, and have had struggles with anxiety off and on for a lot of my life. And I have to say, they are a whole lot better now that I am back in program and have started to really work with the idea of a higher power. So anyway, I went out, gained a lot of weight back. I mean, at my highest weight, I was, I guess, about 80 pounds heavier than I am now. And when I came back in 2.5 years ago, Lord knows I needed to lose weight, but it wasn't the weight that really brought me back in. It was my relationships with two particular people in my life that had me so unhappy and dissatisfied. And no matter how much I therapized them, talked about them, cried about them, moaned about them, nothing was making me feel better. And I just said to myself, maybe I'll try the 12 steps again. So that brought me back in. It brought me back in with a new willingness, there was a new understanding of what I needed to do after all that time. And yes, those relationships are not exactly the way I would want them to be right now, but they are better. And, sometimes people say it's not those people who have changed, it's me. Yes, I have changed, but because I've changed, I see the way those people react to me differently, in a way that is better for me, and I hope better for them, because they seem to be happier too. So this time around, very, very grateful to come back in. I was fortunate to find the Vision for You meeting, which is every morning at 7 a.m. And that, I really credit that meeting as being one of the things that helped to give me my recovery back. I found a wonderful, wonderful sponsor who, honestly, she was just exactly who I needed. I mean, talk about, higher power putting people together. She was perfect for me. She was a perfect, gentle soul. Some BS was coming out of my mouth during that time. I mean, I did get abstinent immediately, but there was still some BS coming out of my mouth at that time. The biggest piece of BS was I shouldn't have to commit my food. And I shouldn't have to commit my food because I really don't cook, and I don't. And because I don't cook, I have to really be, I have to have the freedom to not go near the stove at all if I want. So God love the woman, you know, she let me do that. Now, 2.5 years later, I commit my food. Do I always want to do it? Not necessarily, but I commit my food because I could see why committing my food is another piece of discipline. The Big Book says we are undisciplined lot, and we are. I know I am. I'm certainly an undisciplined person. So anyway, she was wonderful, and she helped me to get back on the track. I started to work on my relationship with a higher power, and I have to say that that continues to be the most challenging thing for me. I would say, okay, it's fear. My biggest character defect is fear, but I have come to realize that the fear is just a mask for control. I want control. And if you know me and if you're around me, you wouldn't think that because I am kind of freewheeling. Yeah, whatever you want to do, we can do. I don't hover over my kids. I don't tell them how to act. I don't do anything like that. You know, I would like to control the forces of the universe. That's what I would like to do. And, you know, I've struggled. This past summer, I had some surgery, and thank God everything was fine. But I have to say that that was a traumatic experience. Going through that, you know, I guess like the first time I really looked my mortality in the face, and it was very, very scary. And, you know, I'm struggling with the after effects of that still. I'm struggling with it, you know, struggling with what it all means, struggling to try to find the faith that everything is going to be okay. Because when I was going through all of that, I'll tell you, the only thing that really, really helped me was the knowledge that people were praying for me. People in this room were, they were praying for me. I shamelessly got on Zoom meetings that I had never been on and said, "Oh my God, people, please pray for me." You know, and I think that people really did, because not only was I okay, but in those moments when I could remember that that was going on for me, I felt better. I know that there is a power greater than myself. I know that my recovery is a gift. I know that I am powerless over people, places, and things. I think the issue for me is I just have had such a long time. I mean, I'll be 70 in December. I've had such a long time of doing everything by myself or feeling that I was the only person who could do it, that I just think letting go of control completely. And trusting completely is an issue for me. You know, and I wish I could say it doesn't mess with my food at all, but it does. It does. I'm, you know, I'm free of my alcoholic foods, but I've been struggling with just like wanting, you know, one more little piece of this or one more little ounce of that, you know, and I do not want to be led down the garden path again. I know where that's going to take me, and it's only going to take me no place. One of the things I've learned is how I am powerless over how people perceive me. You know, it's another one of those things that I just need to pray to be relieved of, that especially for me right now has to do with aging and being an aging woman in America. And the way you are, you're laughing, but you know, okay? You know, being an aging woman in America, it's not an easy road to hoe. So that is just one of the many things that you know, that I pray to be relieved of. On a daily basis, I do weigh and measure my food. As I said, I avoid all those alcoholic foods. I go to probably about 10 meetings a week, all told. I'm retired. Thanks, Russ. I'm retired and I can do that. So I can go to all those meetings. But I also have to say, everybody, I am very aware that, you know, and I do service. I'm very aware that I could hide behind all that too. In a weird way, I could hide behind it. Because if I'm not enlarging my spiritual life, I could be going to a million meetings a week. You know, I could be doing service from here to Gazigi Town. You know, if I fail to enlarge my spiritual life, I'm in trouble. And I do a gratitude list every morning. That's saving my life because I could look at something that maybe wasn't great, and I'm almost always able to flip around to be grateful for something. So one of the things I'm most grateful for is there are so many people out there suffering with this disease. Why were we picked to come into these rooms? We will never know, but it is the thing that I am probably most grateful for in this world. And thank you so much, everybody, for letting me share.